If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Their system is based on keeping you trapped and feeding on you for your whole life. This is a system where you have control. You get to keep your money. You choose. You want to invest in real estate, gold, crypto, startups. Like, you can do almost anything you want. Wall Street hates it. I love it.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Best-selling author of a dozen books on personal finance, investment, and retirement strategies, Damian is on a mission to free 1 million people from financial bondage. He hosts the Financial Underdogs podcast, ripping conventional wisdom apart for the Main Street investor looking for truth about money and investing. Not only has he started 50-plus companies, he developed the ultimate investor retirement tool called the EQRP. His strategy gives individuals total control of their retirement money to invest in real assets like real estate, gold, and crypto. Damian, welcome to the show.
Sam, it's good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, this is great. It's great to have you on. Somebody with your diverse background, it's hard to know really even where to start. You know, the typical flow of the show is where'd you start, where are you now, and how'd you get there? I'd like to kind of fast forward past some of that and really get into, maybe as scary as it is, some of the crazy thoughts that are in your head, if you don't mind sharing those. But really, you know, one of the things that I'd love to hear about today is that you have this phrase where you rip conventional wisdom apart for the Main Street investor. What does that mean to you? I guess across all aspects of your life, what does that mean to you? Because that's a foundational kind of think piece that probably affects everything that you do and really think. Is that a fair statement?
It is. I've gotten to the point where I'm fed up with the conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom, in my mind, it says, go out there, work your butt off, hand your money over to somebody else because you're too stupid to manage it, and then abdicate responsibility until death do you part. They're going to fee you, and you might have a few bucks to pay for your funeral. And I mean, realistically, big picture, that's the middle of the bell curve in America. And it's scary. Like, since the early 1970s, we have not had a median income growth. We've had GDP growth. Middle America is struggling, and it's because they're being told, hey, don't look over here. Don't think about this. The truth is, with a fifth grade education, you can go create financial freedom if you understand that the rules are available for you and you just reject this idea that you're too stupid. I think more education sometimes makes it worse because you tend to think you need to know everything. I love working with, especially like high school educated women, because they show up without an ego and they're like, I don't know anything. I want to learn. I love that perspective. And that's across different, you know, men and women, but it's a lot of, that's the problem. People's egos and their inadequacies. It's the basic human needs are being touched and they're being trapped because of those. And so I just rewire that, giving people ideas and tools like the EQRP, my primary tool, to give people control of their retirement money and helping people understand that they're not alone. They're not like on a crazy island by themselves. Like, hey, it's okay to actually take control. In fact, you should. I don't generally say you should do anything, because then you should all over yourself. I think there's no way to be financially free until you take control, because wealth isn't money. It's the experiences and the scar tissue that you get by doing the things. And if you're too afraid to ever do anything, you're screwed. And so this is the alternative, not being screwed, being empowered, being free.
At what age were you when you finally put it all together and said, gosh, you know, this is a broken system?
Well, I knew everything at 11, which is hilarious. I mean, you know, it's funny how we knew everything and then we got smart. We got like dumber as we got older. We're like, wow, I really don't know anything.
Sure.
I mean, back then I knew something was wrong because the messaging I got from especially my dad was, we don't have any money. Where do you think the money's going to come from? Trees. And then what do I do? I got mad, started a business at 11. And I remember in 2000, it was like my third real estate deal with a house. And a guy gave me some down payment money on a deal. It was just a house I was doing some owner finance on. And he ended up giving me a $25,000 check for some option money that was basically his down payment. It was all profit. And I went, wow, I just made almost as much as my parents made in a year in a day. And it was because I went out to a seminar in Florida and I listened to guys like Ron LeGrand. He's like one of these old dudes that he had the wisdom. He'd been there. He'd done it thousands of times. I said, Ron seems to know what he's doing. I'm going to just trust that and be naive and go out there and build the Great Wall of China in a week. And we need more of that day to day. We need to trust in something. If we're skeptical of everything because it's everything is bad now, it's like that's how the media goes after us. They make it bad and scary and red alerts. If we start trusting in someone and modeling people that have integrity and experience, it's unbelievable what we can do. You're going to trip. You're going to stub your toes. That's where you get the scar tissue and the broken bones. But nothing kills you. It just doesn't. And that's what we've been afraid of, I think.
Right. So how, when you figured this out at 11 and say you said maybe you forgot it at some point in time, then figured it out again. What was round two?
So there's the second big round. I mean, I did a lot of stuff as a kid, but then my real estate stuff, I started when I was in 1999, literally New Year's Eve, 1999, closed my first rental house. So I barely got into real estate in the 90s. It's like, you know, I don't know how much closer you could cut it. And so I did the deal. And then I spent a number of years, like 5 years building up a portfolio, had 150 houses. I thought I was Superman, 10 feet tall and bulletproof. And sure. Then 2008 happened and showed me that I was a moron. And I lost $20 million and had to start over. So I went from $20 million to -$5 million in 12 months. And it sucks. And guess what? Didn't kill me. But I thought because my self-worth and net worth were so tied together at that point that my life was over. On the other side of that, after a couple of years of therapy and coaching and going deep into a question of what is true, I realized I wasn't my money. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher that teaches from experience, which is rare. Most people are sitting in an ivory tower with actually no experience and they just regurgitate crap in a book. And I said, you know what? This round, it's time to do something that breaks people's shackles. And so the mission of my company and my companies and me, my life is to break a million people's financial shackles and clear them from financial bondage. And it's through self-responsibility. That is the ultimate key. You want to be free? You got to be self-responsible. No more victim, no more waiting. And that's what it's about. The last decade, that's what I've been doing and building and watching people cry because they've literally become free. And it's the best thing I've ever done.
Wow. I mean, not only is that personally rewarding, I would imagine. I guess that's probably the biggest part of it is it's personally rewarding.
Here's the thing that people miss. Everybody's chasing money. Money is a side effect of a value that you create. You can't just get money because money is energy. And so when people say, I want to win the lottery is going to come and go because you haven't actually exchanged anything.
Right.
And people don't get this. So they try to hack things. And I'm all in favor of the 4-hour work week and hacks and doing things with leverage. The reality though, is if you don't do the personal development stuff on yourself, and I know you've had a lot of guests and doing mindset stuff. Look, man, 85% of your success in investing is the psychology. 5% is the thing. So you go, what should I invest in? I'm like, you stop talking to me about stocks or real estate. Go over and do some brain damage on yourself.
Right.
That's where it's at. And so that it's really fascinating to be able to watch people because I'm not saying, hey, here's what you should invest in. I'm saying, here's the tool and here's how you rewire yourself. It's a little bit of neuroplasticity and then everything changes.
Right. So let's go back maybe a few years when you founded your companies and really, you know, let's say you got through the mindset. You spent a couple of years really in therapy, getting things figured out, working on yourself. And then you took the next step and said, all right, I want to blast this to the world. And I want to be a game changer for a million people. That's an audacious goal. How did you go about accomplishing that?
One person, one conversation. Everybody tries to go and they try to hyper jump over to the end. They say, okay, I read Stephen Covey's book, which I love his stuff. But when he says start with the end in means, it doesn't mean start at the end. And that's what people tend to do. They say, okay, I'm going to have $1 billion under management. I'm going to have 10,000 units. Man, go talk to Kenny McElroy. He's got 10,000 units. You think he did that in a day? No, decades. And so how do you build something that lasts, that has a foundation that can withstand a storm where you have people coming to you saying, I want to work with you. How can that happen? You do that because you start off with one person with one message to change that life. And that's what it was. You know, I remember the beginning, I'd have one or two or three people in a year that would become a client. And it would end up being a very hard year. And most people quit. It's one of the reasons that there's not a lot of competition in general when you actually stay around long enough. Because most people fall off because they're too timid and they're not committed. The honey badger is our avatar. Honey badger is committed. It's fearless. It's decisive. It's committed and it's resilient. And if you look at my people and you look at our mission, we are honey badgers. And our clients, our tribe, are honey badgers because they're absolutely fearless. They go move out. They move through the fear with action. And that's the big key. Look, we're all afraid. Stuff's out there, man. COVID wants to kill you. You can't even see it. But the reality is if you go and take a step and do something, then you get momentum and then you say, okay, I'm moving through the fear and now I'm committed to this thing and I'm deciding on this one thing. And then you're resilient through whatever it is that keeps pushing you down. You're like, nope, I'm getting up. I don't care if you sting me, stab me, beat me up. I'm moving forward. And that's the difference in the people that win.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. So what about EQRP? How did you decide to launch that?
So here's how you launch anything. You see a problem and you go, I can go fix that. And if you go, I don't know how to do that. Good. How am I going to do that? So I saw this problem back at 10 years ago and it got very, very personal. A few years after I started doing it, I was like, hey, this is a good way to help people make some money. But then it got really personal in 2013 when my dad was a few weeks away from dying. And he and I had our last conversation and he looked at me and he said, man, there were so many things that I wanted to do. And he knew his time was up and he wasn't going to get to play anymore. And, you know, he passed away and that was not an example of a life to replicate. It was a warning of don't do this.
Right.
And I said, okay, so that's not what I'm going to do. And how many people can I save from that conversation and that pain? And so at that point, it switched gears where there became a fanatical obsession, devotion, whatever you want to call it, towards the idea that people have a choice. And if you show them a choice and you encourage them and you help them with the confidence, people will become free. And so that's my mission. It's to make sure that conversation is eliminated.
Right, right. And for our listeners that don't know what that, you know, what EQRP is, can you briefly run us through that?
Yeah. And so here's what happened. When my dad said that, the reason he said that was one, he didn't go deep. He went wide. It's like going on Facebook. There's 50,000 different shiny nuts and we're like a bunch of drunk squirrels chasing all these nuts. So he was doing that like everybody else seems to do. And he was running out of money. So he played the game. He did the Wall Street thing. He did the 401k. He was a government guy, military, 20 years, the whole deal. And he woke up and he's like, I don't have the money to go do the things I want to do. I can't show up for people's weddings. I can't, like his own kids. Like they're, you know, just brutal stuff like that. And it was because there was a scarcity in his mind. The EQRP is a shift. It allows people to get out of Wall Street and take all their retirement money and control it. Mm. So most people have a 401k or an IRA.
Sure.
They're like, well, shoot, I hope it works. They smoke a bunch of opium for 20, 30 years. And then they wake up like, did it work? No, you're broke. And you go, damn, too late. So the EQRP, it's the Enhanced Qualified Retirement Plan. It allows you to have control of your money. And people go, how come I haven't heard of it? And I go, because Wall Street doesn't want to tell you about this. Why would they tell you about a thing where they lose all their fees?
Right.
Their system is based on keeping you trapped and feeding on you for your whole life. This is a system where you have control. You get to keep your money. You choose. You want to invest in real estate, gold, crypto, startups. Like you can do almost anything you want. Wall Street hates it. I love it.
Right, right. And somehow, but in that between what your dad said and between what you'd figured out about yourself, this vehicle came to light. I mean, did you know anything about this beforehand or was it just
10 years ago? It's funny. 10 years ago, I didn't know how to spell EQRP. Why? Because I created it. I found something in the code and I found it was a fringe area where people were doing some self-directed stuff. And sure. I said, what's missing here? What I realized is that they weren't served. It wasn't, people weren't being served and they weren't being told about what's available. So, I mean, it's a unique thing. The EQRP allows anybody that either has a side business, a lemonade stand, you've got a dental practice with 10 employees. Like nothing else does this. A self-directed IRA won't work like this. A solo 401k doesn't work like this. It was, I looked around and all these people that said, I want to do something, my money's stuck. I'm trapped. I was like, you're in 401k jail. And they're like, yeah. I go, let's break you out.
Right.
I don't know how to do that. So I worked with attorneys, tax attorneys, ERISA attorneys. And I spent a couple of years writing the QRP book and basically putting it out there so people could understand their options. Most people don't even know they have options. Like right. Most people don't even know what a Bitcoin is right now. Hello, get in the game. You got to understand because this is going to impact your life.
Right, right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, even just the most basic of ideas of self-directed money is foreign still to our, you know, the most people out there.
I think most people are literally feeling like they're too stupid because they've been trained to feel too stupid. They're told, I hear people say, well, I need to talk to my financial advisor. I'm like, that person is going to try to sell you some more crap. They're going to sell you some more insurance. They're going to sell you some more stocks or mutual funds. How about if you take a little time to become educated and get advisors that you pay dollars to that give you advice and aren't just selling you stuff all the time? Like I love salespeople, but I also love advisors and you need to understand the difference between the two.
Right. An advisor that isn't paid based on assets under management is a big deal. And I know I've shared this
deal.
Yeah. 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 I helped my parents out from a situation like that. And it was heinous. It was heinous. Their advisor was making more money than they were in their retirement accounts. I'm like,
you know how common that is? I have a very successful surgeon in Texas that is also a real estate, pretty big real estate guy. And he told me his story. He goes, man, I cashed out my 401k. When I say cashed out, he rolled it over into his EQRP.
Right.
And he looked back at the returns. He goes, man, over the last, it was like 20 or 25 years, he goes, my average return was like 2.2% or something. He goes, that, how can that be? And I'm like, it's called fees. They don't, the laws are set up to where you don't have to be told about everything that's happening. There are only certain things you know. So if you say, oh, it's only costing me a 0.25%, bullshit. It is not a 0.25%. Look at when John Bogle, the founder of Vanguard, came out, he died recently, amazing books and super smart. Wall Street didn't like him very much because he started talking about the reality. The reality is Wall Street takes 80% of the returns and guess how much risk they have? None. You take all the risk and you get 20%. Are you kidding me? But that's the system.
Right, right. And most people don't know that there's an alternative, or like you said, they think they're too stupid. I mean,
yeah, they're convinced of it. I don't think most people inherently think they're stupid. I think they just have been, it's like, if you see, here's a good example. Somebody says to their spouse, hey, let's go see this movie because everybody's talking about it. And the spouse goes, wait, his name is Weinstein. I was listening to him on a podcast yesterday. And he said, this is like a bias we have towards mainstream media, because if everybody's doing it, all that means is mainstream media is cross-pollinating the marketing. All you do is you just see it a lot. That doesn't mean crap. It means you're marketed to. So it's the same thing. You have to ask yourself, am I too stupid, or am I being told I'm too stupid because of somebody's agenda? It's almost always an agenda that's making you feel a certain way and it's triggering you. So you have to step back and say, what's really true? That's the question. What is true?
Right, right. No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. We'll go here briefly because we got to jump into the final four. But what were some of the challenges you faced in getting this company scaled up?
Me. I mean, the challenge is I had a lot of really crappy employees in the past. And so I spent too many years doing everything on my own. And I had crappy employees because I was a crappy leader. So my core tenant, my core value is personal and self-responsibility. And so before I shifted there, I was like, oh, you know what? Employees are stupid. People are bad. They're going to hurt me. They're going to steal from me. They're going to cause brain damage. And now I have a world-class team. I love my people. They make it more fun. It's more profitable. We get to help more people. And so the biggest mistake I made was thinking that employees are a bad thing. Man, they're human beings. Who doesn't like human beings? We just don't like them the way they're portrayed on the news, like the other side.
Right.
But humans are actually very cool. Great humans that are also self-responsible because they align with the values. If you have that, you can create a world-class team.
Right, right. And I like what you said there, that it was you know, that was in the way. I mean, if you're a bad leader, you're going to get bad followers. So
yeah.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating. Very cool. I love that. I love all this. And we could carry on for a long time. I wish we could. Let's jump into the final four, which is, if you're to distill everything you know, and it can be about retirement, whatever it is, we're going to keep it real estate, business, growth related, but distill what you know down to one piece of advice. What would that one piece of advice be?
Fail faster with a bald mentor. And here's the reason I say that. You're not going to be eaten. I was in the Arctic Circle working in a kitchen with the oil companies. And when I went outside to take out the trash, there were polar bears that would literally eat my ass if I ran into them. So I could die and be eaten at work.
Taking out the trash.
Nobody else has that problem. And yet our primal brain says you might die if you make a mistake. That is such BS. It is not true. So you got to go out there and you got to build the muscle. How do you do that? You leverage bald guys and gals and gray-haired people that have been through it, that have the scar tissue. You trust their instincts. You pay them a lot of money so that you'll pay attention, and you make as many mistakes as you can as fast as possible. That's the key.
Right. Fail fast. I love that. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I switched gears. My podcast used to be a weekly thing, and I decided I needed to step it up. So I turned it for this year. It's now a daily thing, Monday through Friday with Financial Underdogs. It forces me to, there's Parkinson's law, which compresses time. Whatever time you give something is how long it takes. And so to say it takes a week, most of the time it takes a day, maybe an hour. And yet we give it too much time, which means we waste time. So I just accelerated this year's worth of content or 5 years worth into 1 year. So compressing timeframes, and this is an example of doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. That's awesome. When it comes to giving back, and of course, you know, part of your, or the large part of your business maybe already answers this, but when it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
So first off, I hate that idea of giving back because I haven't taken anything. What I love is giving, period.
Okay.
I think it's a spiritual thing when you give. So my idea of giving is giving people a chance for freedom and hiring more people and nurturing them and bringing out their potential and helping them ripple to other people. So to me, if you want to get rich, you want to be wealthy, start giving. Don't look at the damn fireplace and say, give me heat, and then I'll give you wood. Go in there and put the wood in there. That's called charity. That's called giving right now before you even have the money. How do you do it? Figure it out. That's what happens. Ask God. He'll tell you that's how it happens.
Right, right. No, I love that. I love that. That's awesome. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they go about doing that?
Best way to get a hold of me if you want to learn about what I'm doing with the EQRP is go to eqrp.co. And if you want to listen to the podcast, I'm Cardinal Sin here. I'm giving you two things to do. Financial Underdogs is the place to go, financialunderdogs.com. Every day, you can hear more.
That's awesome. Damien, thanks so much for your time. This was awesome. I certainly appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.